Hi friends, welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. Hello and welcome back. I'm finally getting settled back into my routine after traveling to Fort Myers, Florida this past weekend. My cousin was on her college spring break, and so we planned a nice little trip and visited one of my friends who now lives down there. But I swear South Dakota universities pick the worst time to have spring break because it always lands on daylight savings time. And it was like this back when I was in college too. And you wouldn't think that an hour time change from Central to Eastern and back plus the daylight savings would make that much of a difference. But let me tell you, I have been asking myself what month it is all week. All that aside, this week's episode is all about journaling. And you might be wondering why on earth I dedicate an entire episode to this. I mean, it sounds pretty self-explanatory, right? But what I tend to find is that sometimes people don't know where to start or what to write about. So in today's episode, I'm going to break down why it can be intimidating to start journaling, why it can be helpful, particularly for people struggling with disordered eating, and we're going to finish off with 5 ways you can go about journaling. When I think back to my own experience with journaling, it's been a journey. I remember one of my first journals was this furry, bright colored one that had a lock and a key on it. Did you guys ever have one of those? I was probably in second grade at the time, and I can't imagine what that little girl was writing about with her feather pen. I'm sure it was some pretty intense stuff, you guys. From there, I can remember some pretty cool looking Harry Potter journals that I had around the 4th grade, and I didn't really get into journaling until I was in probably middle school. I was probably in the 6th grade when I started becoming really fascinated with World War II and also with the Diary of Anne Frank. So I tried to imitate Anne's style of writing at the time, because of course someone would want to read the journal of an average middle school girl from South Dakota someday. So I would start out each entry with, "Dear Kitty," just like Anne did, if you've ever read the book. And I actually have the pages of this journal scanned into my computer, and I destroyed the physical evidence of it, but I still have it. And this journal didn't last all that long because I clearly wasn't being myself. I was trying to be someone else and imitate their style of writing. It was more like a creative writing project, which at the time was fine because it's something I did enjoy. But I would say the first genuine journal I probably kept was one my cousin Jenny sent to me in the 7th grade. And to this day, it's the most beautiful one I've ever owned. It had this intricate beading on the front cover, and each page had thick textured paper. This was the first journal I started spilling my guts, or spilling the beans. And since then, I've been journaling on and off to this day. But I understand that not everyone picks up a journal and feels the same connection that I did. In fact, many of my clients struggle with journaling. I've heard similar struggles from clients who purchase a pretty journal, you're excited about it for a little bit because you've heard great things, but then when you actually sit down to write in it, you're completely paralyzed. You may ask yourself, what on earth do I write? Where do I even start? And if this sounds like you, I can tell you that you're definitely not alone. Journaling can be quite intimidating, and I think part of it has to do with our preconceived notions of what journals are. When I was younger, I thought I needed to start each entry with a dear diary and then go on to eloquently detail my entire day. I thought I needed to be some kind of literary genius, which I'm not. But in reality, a journal can be anything that you want it to be. I always put so much pressure on myself that my handwriting had to be perfect and I could only share certain details because what if someone reads it someday? But journals are meant to be between you, your thoughts, and the pages of that notebook. So if you need to invest in a lock, like my faux fur first journal, then so be it. Your journal is your sanctuary and no one else's, and you should be able to have the freedom to feel 100% like yourself. And trust me, your handwriting does not need to look all that legible. Mine certainly isn't. So why is journaling helpful anyway? Well, there's a number of reasons, and I'm sure you've probably heard some of them, which is why you're listening to this podcast episode. For my clients who tend to struggle with some level of disordered eating or a funky relationship with their body or food, it can help get those clustered thoughts out of your head and onto a sheet of paper. It also helps you to take a step back and evaluate your thoughts. One journal activity I sometimes do with my clients is to have them write down their problematic thought. So let's just use the example of, I'll never have a normal relationship with food again. Then I have them divide the information into two columns titled evidence to support and evidence to refute. Then at the end, they sum up the information. And obviously this is a more structured approach, but you might be seeing how this might help them look at their thoughts more productively. Another way that journaling can be helpful is that you're engaging in an emotional reaction in a non-harmful way. So whereas maybe you restricted your food in the past or whatever you were struggling with, now you're pausing to process your emotions without immediately engaging in that reaction. While I could go on and on about the benefits of journaling, the final benefit I want to mention is that it can help you evaluate how you are living out your values. Often what clients discover when we work together is that they are living in misalignment with their core values and they hadn't even realized it. We typically go through a series of journal activities in and outside of session to get to the root of their values and how your eating disorder or chronic dieting may have been leading you further from those values. This can help set us on the right track to make sure that we're checking in with our values and checking in with those behaviors to see if we're becoming in more alignment. All right, so let's get into the ways you can journal that might make it less intimidating. While there are many more out there, I'm just going to share five styles today. The first style of journaling I want to talk about is called word vomit. Okay, so there's probably a more eloquent way to word that. I think I've also heard it called stream of consciousness, but I tend to call it word vomit. To sum it up, you just keep writing everything that comes to mind. It's as simple as that. You can literally start out the entry with, I don't know what to talk about. But if you do want something more constructive, you could start out with something like, I'm feeling, or I'm struggling with. Then jot down the words that come to mind. You could also set a timer if you wanted and start out by telling yourself, I'm going to jot down my thoughts for 3 minutes and see what happens. You could always continue writing more, but starting small with 3 minutes can help you take the pressure off of that. The next style of journaling is simply making lists. Sometimes when you're overwhelmed, it can be difficult to calm yourself down to pull out a journal and to write in it. I know I've been there. So something you can easily do that will still give you that release of emotions is to whip out the note section of your phone and begin making a list. The list doesn't even need to have a theme. When I have a lot on my mind, my list might consist of anything from the tasks I need to get done that day, to a thought that's bugging me, to something I need to pick up on my next trip to Target. It really doesn't matter. Next, if you need more guidance on what to focus on, prompts can be useful in your journaling practice. I often use prompts with my clients to help them explore different concepts between our sessions. I mentioned a couple earlier in the episode. Besides the worksheets that I utilize, there are special journals that can help guide you. Specifically, in the intuitive eating and eating disorder world, I have a couple of favorites. The first favorite is the Intuitive Eating Workbook by Elise Rush and Evelyn Tribley that was released in 2017. If you're on a journey to food freedom, this workbook can be incredibly helpful in walking you through each of those 10 principles of intuitive eating with activities and journal prompts. The second book I frequently recommend is The 8 Keys to Recovery from an Eating Disorder. This one's by Carolyn Costin and Gwen Schubert Grab. Many of my eating disorder clients have expressed how much they connect with this particular workbook. I personally love the way that the book explains eating disorders. The authors talk about how you typically have this eating disorder self and a healthy self, and part of the goal is to help strengthen the healthy self. And there's tons of activities to help you along the way. Outside of the nutrition and eating disorder world, there are all kinds of prompts and specific journals available. You could simply start by going to Pinterest and searching for free prompts to test out and see if this style of journaling resonates with you. The fourth type of journal has gained a greater spotlight in the last few years, and that's a gratitude journal. This type of journal is exactly like it sounds. You're listing the things that you're grateful for. And the purpose of this type of journaling is to help you appreciate the wonderful things in life, though it sounds a little cheesy. And they can be as simple as things as my morning cup of coffee, or as significant as surviving a traumatic car crash. Again, it's all about your preference and what you prefer. I've seen some people keep a daily list of gratitude where they start each morning with a list of 10 things they are grateful for. For me personally, I've used an app called 5-Minute Journal that costs just a few dollars. This app prompts you to list 3 things that you're grateful for in the morning, what you will do to make today great, and a daily affirmation. Then, before you go to bed, you're prompted to list 3 amazing things that happened that day and list 1 way you could have made today even better. I really enjoyed having this on my phone and being reminded of the good things in my life that I'd otherwise forget about when I'm feeling down. The final type of journal I want to talk about is an art journal. This is the type of journal I have the least personal experience with, but I know it resonates with a lot of people. Sometimes words just aren't your thing, and no matter how hard you try, it just doesn't resonate with you. In this case, I've had clients start art journals and have found it a fun way to express themselves. For some people, fixation on food has stripped them of their creative outlet that was so much a part of their life prior. So turning to a form of art again can be quite healing. This could be everything from collages to watercolor painting to sketches. If you're getting the common theme here, it can be whatever you want or need it to be. So to recap, the 5 types of journals we talked about today were word vomit or stream of consciousness, lists, prompts, gratitude, and an art journal. I really hope one of these piqued your interest and you might consider giving it a try soon. I always tell people that you never know unless you try, and the worst thing that can happen is that you try one and you hate it, so you try a different one. Also, feel free to message me on social media if you think of any other style of journaling that I didn't mention today, or let me know if you tried one of these and how it went for you. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to Anchor for again hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe this podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head over to my website at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. If you need more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching, and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, I'm at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own little cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.